Hi, everyone. This is the Leadership with Heart podcast, and this is Heather Younger, your host. Employee experience is powered by emotions. Managers and or leaders within organizations get to choose which emotions they unleash from within the people they lead. Leaders, meaning supervisors or above in an organization, drive much of the positive or negative emotions by their actions or inactions, their words, or what they fail to say. When a manager chooses their words and their actions carefully, they exhibit great emotional intelligence. These managers are often thought of as leaders who care, or as I call them, leaders with heart. This special brand of leader drives engagement and loyalty simply by being themselves. Are these leaders perfect? Absolutely not. It is in their awareness and sharing of their imperfections that we realize their brilliance. In this podcast, I asked you to see yourself in the stories my guests tell about times when they were not the best versions of themselves, but how they used their heart to guide them to a place of deeper connection with their teams and heightened leadership prowess. Today, I'm very excited to welcome such a leader in Bridget Grimm, treasurer of Adams County, Colorado. I have witnessed her leading with heart her team, and I've actually heard their feedback as a result. Stay tuned for this wonderful podcast.
So this is the Leadership with Heart podcast, and this is your host, Heather Younger. And I'm so excited to have Bridget Grimm, the treasurer of Adams County in Colorado, on the phone with us today. She is an amazing person. Hello there, Bridget.
Hey, good morning, Heather. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's Monday and it's beautiful here in Colorado, isn't it? So I'm doing well.
Yeah, great.
So for the people listening for the show, there'll be people that will be coming on the show based upon who I've invited them on, or okay. People have referred them to me. So anybody who's listening will just know that they've pretty much been screened. These are people calling in asking if they can be on the show. In most cases, they've been referred or I've handpicked them based upon, you know, what I see as a leader who leads with heart and who's more emotionally intelligent. So Bridget, the reason why I invited Bridget on, and it is because I've worked with her, and I also saw how she was with her people, and her people would self-reflect on her leadership style when I would do employee focus groups or what I would be doing in training. And so I could just see she was one of those people who naturally led people and was emotionally intelligent. So that is why I have her on the show. So I'm hoping you'll enjoy our time together. So Bridget, tell us a little bit about, you know, what you do for Adams County and your role as treasurer. And that would be great for us to hear that.
Okay, great. Well, yes. So I'm the Adams County treasurer, and it is an elected position. So in 2010, after a decade in the private sector, in accounting roles, in finance roles, CFO roles, and director of accounting and finance type roles, I decided to enter the public sector. And so I brought with me a decade of experience. And then I also brought an MBA in finance and accounting and a bachelor's degree in information systems. And so what I found was 8 years ago when I ran for my first term and then ran again 4 years later in 2014 for my second term, I found that I had this perfect blend of public-private experience. And so I think that has actually been one of the reasons that we've been so successful in this public sector, because we all know that government hasn't always been the most efficient and effective operation. And so it's been wonderful and an amazing experience with amazing results to come here and take everything that I know through experience and education and apply it. And the outcome has been the most, really the most rewarding professional experience I've ever had.
Oh, that's awesome. So what drives you, you know, as a person, as a leader, what is it that drives you? And then where does that drive come from?
Well, I think I'm a big believer in investing my time and energy in something that I'm passionate about, that I love, because I think you lose interest if you don't have that passion. And so with that said, I think what gets me out of bed every day is accomplishments and results. And as I just mentioned, you know, in the public sector, there is an expectation that it will be a bad experience. And so every day I am driven to change that experience for, in this case, our taxpayers. So as the treasurer, I am the tax collector probably not the most popular role in county government, but that's what excites me, is to be able to have this great relationship with our customers. And so I'm motivated really by leaving a legacy here of inspiring my team and my coworkers and those that I interact with every day. And I want a legacy where my team, the people that work here with me, see growth, where they feel good about where they were, where they are now, and where they're headed. And I don't know what that growth looks like. It could be educational. It could be better critical thinking skills, maybe better time management. And maybe if I could have my way, it would be being motivated to be a mentor for somebody else. So I love being a resource and helping others in my office and in this building actually achieve their personal, their professional, and maybe even their educational goals.
I love that. And for everybody listening, I'm not sure if you heard her describe the people that she worked with. She didn't say the people that work for me, the people that report to me. She said the people that I work with. And that is really a defining characteristic of a leader with heart and somebody who's more emotionally intelligent, because they don't necessarily put themselves up on a pedestal. They put themselves an equal, knowing that they do have added responsibility for the team. So I just want to point out that little nuance, if you didn't already catch it, about how Bridget described herself. So how would you define your leadership style?
You know, I love this question, because I think, you know, if you Google leadership styles, you'll get 5 to maybe 7 or 8 predetermined styles. But I have known for a very, very long time that I'm a visionary and I'm also a coach. And so what I would like to say, oh, I didn't mention earlier, I'm also an instructor. I teach at night. I teach accounting at night. And so as a visionary, I think this style is really effective when an organization needs new direction or new process. And that's been the beautiful thing about working in this government sector, is I've been able to take that private sector experience, which is what I did also cleaning up accounting departments and working with different companies to improve process and create effective and efficient ways to do the job. And so I think that visionary goal is a style that is, it's to move people towards a new set of shared outcomes, right? So as a visionary leader, I think I like to articulate where my team is going, but not necessarily how we're going to get there. And so this means I get to empower the people that I work with to innovate, to experiment with different ideas, maybe to assess and sometimes take these calculated risks to improve the way we do business. And so I've always had this tagline that, you know, I'm here to change the way government does business. And this visionary style is a big, big piece of that. Now the coaching style, this is a little bit more on the one-on-one, and it aligns with why I actually love being an instructor. So in my classrooms, I'm always trying to work with students individually to help them get where it is that they want to go. And that rolls over into my work life as well. This one focuses really on developing individuals and showing them how to improve either their performance or connecting maybe their goals with the goals of the organization. And this is really the fun part of my job, because I see people grow. And it really works best with employees who have a desire and an initiative and love what they do. That's a big piece, right? The people that I work with have to want to be here. And so this coaching style is really great with them. It's a delicate balance, because you have to avoid micromanaging an employee, but it's by far, it's the most challenging, but the most rewarding. I do want you to know that I'm really clear with my team that my job is to manage process, not to manage them. My job is to motivate them, to inspire them. And I hear a lot of leaders talking about managing people. And I actually don't think we manage people. I think we manage process and we motivate and inspire people.
I love that. So just everything you said encapsulates so many elements of this emotionally intelligent leader. And keeping in mind that when we talk about, you know, someone who's emotionally intelligent, it doesn't mean that we're all perfect. We are all striving to become, you know, better and the best versions of ourselves. And so everything you mentioned the word empower, you mentioned the word innovate, coaching, and the fun part, I love the fact that the fun part is seeing them grow. This is really a sign of a leader who leads with heart. I love it. I just absolutely love all of it. It's just wonderful. So describe for me a time when you were maybe not the best leader you could be, and what did you do to come out of it?
Yeah, I think we all experience this as leaders. First of all, I think that when you no longer feel effective as a leader, it's really time for you to reevaluate. Is it time for you to change? Is it time for you to move on? And you will know, right, when the people that you work with no longer refer to you. But what I want you to know is that, you know, we all have bad days. So this is really what I'm going to talk about. It's just a bad day, right? And so I've always felt that people that come in a bad mood and ruin the entire day for somebody else, I've always felt that really wasn't okay. So when I started with the county, I implemented a policy that held everybody accountable for the energy that they brought into the room. And that policy applied to me as well. So let's say, for example, I'm having a bad day where everybody annoys me, right? And that includes the person who cut me off in traffic, the traffic light that isn't changing fast enough, maybe some lackluster service from a bank teller or a barista, or maybe even just as simple as a gas pump not printing out my receipt. That's when I pause. I literally pause and I ask myself, you know, what's the common denominator here? And if I determine that it's me, I do one of two things. And I ask my team to do this as well. I either go to work and let my team know that I'm having an off day, so maybe I'll close my door because I need to get something done. But I always give them the heads up that, you know, today I'm just off, and so don't internalize anything, you know. And then if it's really bad enough, or I'm just really, really the common denominator, I turn around and I call the office and I say I'm not coming in today. I'm working remotely. So taking a mental health day or working remotely is what I ask my team to do if they think the energy that they're bringing to the office is negative. I love this quote by Ray Kroc. He says the quality of a leader is reflected in the standards they set for themselves. And so I think that's why it's important that when you implement policies, that you don't exempt yourself from them. So I don't get a free pass on bringing negative energy into the room, into the office, and neither does my staff. And that is what... And we all respect that. So we have the freedom to say today's a day that I need to take off due to negative energy.
Wow. And I think that's just amazing. I mean, thinking about how many leaders may not think that's okay. I mean, they come in and they, you know, maybe yell at or bark at or throw orders at their team members because they just started off the day wrong. Or you know, right. Their team members just aren't having a great day, and they aren't empathetic enough or compassionate enough to be saying, okay, you obviously have a bad day, you're having a bad day. Why don't you go take a break? Why don't you close the door? Why don't you take some deep breaths? Right. Counseling their people through that tough time, but also allowing that space to happen, because you know, as an intelligent leader, that not everybody's perfect every single day. So I think that's awesome, and I'm sure they can take some deep breaths knowing that you're somebody who allows that space for them to not be perfect. Yeah. But to also, I love some of the words you used earlier, you know, the risk-taking and the innovation and things like that. I mean, those are some key things. People want to know that they are allowed to step out on faith, that they are allowed to try new things for the benefit of the customer and the team. And one of the other things that I know about you, again, because I've worked with you, is that you're so hyper customer focused. So in this case, it's taxpayer, but it's customer, whether it's internal or external, you're all about the people. And even though you do drive process and innovation, you start with the people first, which I think is just amazing.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, so what do you do to connect with your team in a deeper way? So sometimes you feel like you are doing lots of tasks throughout the week, or they're on lots of projects, and you know everything's kind of crazy. What do you do to connect with them in a deeper way when that happens?
You know, I think the one thing that I have found is none of what I do is rocket science. Sometimes a simple smile, just acknowledgement of their presence. I say good morning to every staff member when I come into the office. I also make it a point to have some visibility into their lives outside of the office. I want to know, I want them to feel comfortable to share any challenges that they might be having, so that we can, if someone's having a daycare issue, we rework the schedule so that they can, during spring break, get their kids picked up from school. So it's important to understand some of their outside life, outside of work life. I also love to put the spotlight on my people. I love to give them the opportunity to shine. So when we have our monthly birthday meetings/info meetings, if someone's taking a class, I like them to get up and share with us some of the great things in the class that they learned or that they want to share with us. So we really focus on giving each employee time to shine. I like to know what motivates them. So I have a conversation with them and say, you know, what motivates you? And then I try to implement that into my working relationship with them. So that's a real big one, because we know everybody's motivated by different things. And I focus on telling teammates how great their teammates are, because I know that gets around, right? I know that if I tell one employee how great another employee is, how they're excelling, how they're embracing, that makes the person that I'm speaking to, there's a trust there that I'm always sharing progress with everybody, right? Not just the person I'm working with. And then I do little things like, you know, I leave trinkets on a desk, you know, little things that I've picked up at different meetings. I bring them in and I give them to the employees. And then I also let them know that we're here also to, it's work, but it's also, we can have a good time. So we laugh a lot. And so those are the things that we do to create more of a, it's not just the work environment, although I will say we're incredibly efficient and effective. I really do feel like these people are an extension of my family, and I genuinely care about how well they're doing outside of work and inside of work.
So again, for those listening, just if you could just hear Bridget's voice, you can hear the sincerity of everything that she's talking about. Again, I have seen her live this out in the work environment with her team members, with her coworkers. I love that concept of giving them a time to shine. Boy, if more leaders would kind of set that aside for the day, for the week, for their team, how much more could they get out of their team members? How much more can the business thrive with that idea of a time to shine? And also customizing, what is it that motivates you? You know, I talk about this in my book and the 7 Intuitive Laws of Employee Loyalty, and it really is, if you can find out what motivates them and you customize the things you do to show appreciation in them based upon that motivation, again, you will see the fruits of that labor pay off much, much more. So, I mean, it's just beautiful, all the things that you said, and you really couldn't have said it better, to be honest. I think that a lot of people will learn from what it is that you're saying here. So, What is the one thing that when you're thinking about maybe the leader who could be struggling with their team, or the leader who just the team is just not seeming to be responsive, What's the one thing you think that they can do, or the one takeaway they should, you know, hear you saying today that might help them with that issue?
What do I do when my team isn't responding?
Not you. What would you do for, if there is a leader, let's say it's a listener now who may be struggling with a team member or with their team generally, and their team is maybe not responding to direction or not responding to something. You know, what would you do to say, what do you think the magic pill may be to help them get back on track with their team?
Yeah, so I do think that communicating with your team, we know that one size does not fit all in leadership, and there oftentimes will be one or two members of your team that aren't buying what you're selling. And you really do need to have trust, number one. They have to trust you. They have to trust that they can tell you what they need. At the end of the day, we need to know what they need to be successful. And sometimes it's just giving them the freedom to look for something else. Maybe they want to move to another role, and that's the communication you need to have. So identifying if you're the problem or if they just truly are not passionate about being in that space. And so I think, and sometimes it helps if you can talk with people they work with, because sometimes employees feel more comfortable talking with a colleague and seeing if there's a way you can get that dialogue going. But at the end of the day, I think it boils down to having communication and trust with the people that you work with.
Wow, that's great. And I would agree with you. Trust is really the foundation for everything. And if trust isn't there, you can't do anything else we've spoken about if people don't trust you. So, you know, and keeping in mind that trust is earned and that it doesn't happen overnight, and that you have to do the things that you know need to be done, and you have to do it every day, day in and day out, so that your people know that consistency is there. This has been awesome. Again, remembering, provide your team a time to shine, and remember that you have to pinpoint what motivates them in the process, and then everybody will really flourish much more. So, Bridget, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for joining us on this call. Just to wrap up, I want you to tell everybody how they can get a hold of you. If they wanted to follow up with you and, you know, ask you a question or something, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, yeah, so there's a couple of different ways to get a hold of me. You can call my direct number at the county. That's 720-523-6166. That's directly to my office. I don't have any assistants or deputies, so when you call my number, I will pick up the phone. You could also email me at bgrimm, that's G-R-I-M-M, at adcogov.org. That's adcogov.org.
And just for the listeners too, I will make sure when I put the show notes together, there'll be Bridget's contact information will be on there as well. So you'll be able to get a hold of her. So this has been awesome. Thanks so much for joining the Leadership at Heart podcast.
Oh, Heather, thank you so much. It was a great opportunity.
Thank you for listening to the Leadership at Heart podcast. You can grab the show notes by visiting customerfanatics.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter.